Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Like to be beside the seaside. Oh, I do like to be beside the sea.
Yeah, everyone just bitches all the time, don't they?
Good start to the record. Leave that bit in.
Yeah, that's the intro. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever, whenever you may be listening. This is Chain Wrestling with Mags and Si. I am Si, and I want to say thank you very much yet again for pressing the play button, taking some time out of your day to listen to me and my good buddy ramble on about old wrestling nonsense. And speaking of that good buddy, with me as always, he is the Blade Runner to my Colossal Connection. He is the Crow to my Surfer. He is the Podfather himself, Mr. Mags. How are we doing this week, sir?
I am doing fan Davidoza. I've just been able to watch a five-star match with Meng and Sting. Definitely not phoning it in on a beach. Yeah, it's been a fun time.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, when it comes to where we're going from this, I'm hoping that people vote for my selection to get my own back on you for making me watch this dross this week.
It was horrific. I mean, I've never watched we'll get into it, but I've never watched it before. I literally just followed the chain and got to the most interesting point I could have got to, and I bitterly, bitterly regret it.
Oh, mate, it was hard. But we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that shortly, shall we? How's your week been, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. Been busy on plenty of podcasts. Work is as work is. Excited that we get to maybe come out of lockdown in, what, June the 21st, is it, something like that? So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think the most interesting thing is watching the wrestling Twitter world burn because we've got a new WWE champion.
Oh my God! Honestly, I really, really hate Twitter sometimes. In fact, I'd say a lot of the time I hate Twitter, but this is just, people just need to calm down a bit, don't they? You know, it's ridiculous.
It's bloody play fighting. I don't get why people get so angry about it. If you're on wrestling Twitter, it's very likely that you are not WWE's target audience. So switch your brain off and just enjoy it for what it is. If you want exciting, flippy wrestling with long-term storylines, you're in the wrong place. Go to watch AEW, enjoy AEW, watch New Japan, enjoy that, watch Noah. It's absolutely brilliant wrestling. If you want entertainment, and that's what it is, it's sports entertainment, that's what WWE are providing. And the Miz as champion, I thought, was a brilliant move.
Yeah, I agree. And it's obviously not, it's not like the end game, is it? People online screaming, shouting, moaning, posting videos of themselves going nuts in their little box room or in their mum and dad's basement somewhere or whatever. Just ranting on about how, oh, Miz is champion, I'm not watching WWE ever again. Well, don't then. Fucking watch something else. Do you know what I mean? It's pathetic. I'm sorry, just to put this into context for everyone, we record normally, Mags and I, on a Monday night, so in the UK today, we've had the announcement from Boris Johnson about how hopefully we're going to take these steps towards coming out of lockdown. And correct. Elimination Chamber was, time of recording, early hours of this morning. our time, so that puts a little bit more context into what we're talking about, I guess, Mags. But yeah, people just having an absolute meltdown. It's not the end game. They're obviously heading somewhere else. They're obviously heading towards more to do with Lashley and the Hurt business because of what happened earlier in the show. And people bitch and moan saying, oh, we don't get long-term storytelling, or the WWE doesn't tell stories anymore. And that's what they're now doing. And we've got people moaning about that.
Yeah, I think with a lot of the fan base, or I mean, that's in the most inverted of inverted commas, they will always find something to mourn about. WWE are probably ethically a horrible company. For the stuff that's gone on in the past, and with all the talent, yeah, I get that. But if you're still watching the product, they're not going to give you what AEW give you. They're not going to give you what New Japan give you. They're there to give you what the kids and the parents want to see. And The Miz is a popular wrestler. He's paid his dues. He's getting a run as champion. Absolutely makes sense for me. And if it is the end game for Miz to be the champion, so what? The guy's grafted for 15 years to be where he is today. If there's anybody who is a WWE wrestler, it's The Miz.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you've also got to look, I suppose, back through history. I suppose WWE, WWF is often referred to as a babyface territory. You hear certain people refer to it all as on other podcasts. The time where that tends to be different potentially is around this time of year, going into WrestleMania, because you then often get the good guy moment, the feel-good moment of your challenger, the babyface challenger, winning the Royal Rumble, chasing the evil heel going into WrestleMania. And then you get the good guy moment at the end of Mania, where he stood there celebrating. As a general rule, it's not always exactly like that, but that's kind of the method, or the kind of the process they go through pretty much every year. So if you're sat at home now, screaming into your webcam to your three people who listen, and two of them are probably relatives, you know, about how WWE is this, that, the other, just do me a favor, cancel your network subscription, shut your Twitter off. When lockdown ends for you, go outside, make a friend, you know, maybe if you're a young lad, go and talk to a girl, who knows, you may enjoy it.
I love shooting Simon. Simon and his shooting tree is the best. I mean, I agree with you, though. I've seen people who adamantly claim to not have the WWE network. I don't pay for that shit. I'm not watching it. I don't agree with the company. But I've also seen them commenting that they've watched the show, or they've watched parts of the show and then switched it off when it comes to the stuff that they didn't like. And I'm like, you're complaining, but yet you're still watching it. Yeah. Don't watch it. Seriously, why put yourself through it? Why honestly put yourself through it? If you're watching it just to be one of the cool kids, bitching and moaning about wrestling because you think you're cool on Twitter, then you're a fool. You're talking to a bunch of wrestling t-shirt wearing clowns like us who just want to enjoy a product. You're not cool. You just look like a moron. If you don't like WWE, don't watch WWE. It's as simple as that. I don't know why people put themselves through it. Just enjoy what you want to watch, what you want to enjoy, and leave it at that.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I mean, there's pros and cons to everything, I guess. WWE's got, if you include NXT, weekly, what have they got, Mags? Nine hours of television a week?
Oh, just wrestling. If you add up like all the documentaries and behind the scenes shows and stuff like that, I bet there's dozens of hours per week coming out.
Yeah, exactly. So it may not all be suitable for yourself. You know, I've said it plenty of times in the past. I don't watch WWE television on a regular basis anymore because, as you have said, Mags, it's not really for me, I guess. But there are still moments I enjoy. There are still bits and bobs I seek out after seeing reports or comments online. And I tend to try and watch the pay-per-views. My little girl is 11. She doesn't watch WWE television. It's not what she enjoys massively. But when she puts it on, or she does watch bits on YouTube, that's where she consumes most of her content, as I suppose most people under the age of 18 do now, I guess. She'll sit there and she'll watch it all. And she watched the show with me last night. I mean, it's not like she's got to get up for school at the moment, is it? That's all been in lockdown. And she had a great
time. Maybe she will be going back to school pretty soon.
Well, yeah, potentially. I don't think she's over the moon about that. But
apparently you can go back to school, but you can't go for a haircut, which is weird. Basically, my takeaway from it is, if you don't like WWE, don't sit there, put yourself through it so you can have a whinge on Twitter about it. Go and watch, use that 2.5 hours that you would have watched it, Elimination Chamber, and watch something that you do enjoy so you can go and say good things about that on Twitter. Maybe you'll get more people to watch that product. That's my whole kind of philosophy on it. If you don't like WWE, that's absolutely fine. That's on you. You can like what you don't like. It's subjective. But go and say something cool about a product that you do like, because I might be interested. I might want to hear your thoughts on it, and might broaden my wrestling palette. But if you're just going to be there, I watched it and it was crap and it was boring and I didn't like it and I hate everything that happens on WWE and Miz is a crap champion and why did you have to lose? You're only putting yourself through a lot of shit just for a bit of kudos on Twitter. It's really not worth it.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose on that note as well, people saying, oh, this is shit, this is no good, they're doing this wrong, blah, 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 blah. This company are making billions of dollars, billions of pounds. Yeah. They're the most financially well-off they've ever been. And in all honesty, this is ran by a fella who, yeah, okay, some people say he's out of touch, he's in his 70s and so on, but he's the most, whether you like it or not, the most successful wrestling promoter of all time, and there's no one even close, because everyone else that's lasted over, say, 3 years has gone out of business, you know, or they've left the business and handed it over to somebody else.
Correct.
Okay? So he is the only wrestling promoter in reality at the moment, and this includes Tony Khan because they're still very much at an early stage. He's the only wrestling promoter who's lasted, okay, we'll round it up a bit, just be on the safe side, say 5 years or so, who has been a success. Okay, now if you've got an issue with what they do, like Mag said, absolutely spot on the money, don't bloody watch. Okay, or secondly, if you think you're that good, all right, something flagged up on my Twitter the other day. They were advertising for a writing assistant. Now, because it's a publicly traded company, I believe there's like a law in certain states where they have to advertise certain positions to the outside public. To that, yeah, fucking apply for a job. If you're that good, apply for a job. Send your CV in. I'm sure your 14 hours work experience at the local Asda will benefit you somehow. You know?
Oh, wow.
Just, you know, bomb on down there. You know, sit down with Vince and Bruce Pritchard and Michael Hayes and all those guys and tell them why they suck and you're amazing and see how you get on. Okay? Stop wasting my time. Max, I'm really tired, mate. I'm not going to lie.
That's been brilliant, though. I feel cleansed now. I mean, and to be quite fair, I actually really enjoyed the show.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
And I agree with you. I think this is the season running into WrestleMania where you want that feel-good moment for a face wrestler. So it's better to put the belt on a heel. Last year we got, Goldberg and Braun, which went down like a fart in church. This year we're getting Miz, who I think is absolutely acceptable as a champion, if it ends up being Bobby Lashley, whoever, but we're still going to have a feel-good moment at WrestleMania, so I was very pleased with the show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, the women's match going walkabout, I guess, was a bit of a shame. I find it odd that, considering it wasn't, you know, new information that Lacey Evans wasn't going to be able to wrestle, that they couldn't figure something out. But hey, it is what it is. If I'd have paid, I don't know how much it is in the States for a pay-per-view, but if I'd have paid the 24 £4 or whatever it is BT Sport in the UK were asking, and it was a 2-hour.
Was it not £14.99? I'm sure I saw an advert for £14.99.
Okay, well, even that then, £15, whatever. And it worked out, was it 2 hours, 28 minutes, 2 hours, 30 minutes, something like that? I'd have probably been a little bit miffed at that. I'd have thought, well, hang on a second, I'd like another half hour or so, please, WWE. But ultimately, it is what it is. The situation is what it is. They put the show out there. It served its purpose from a storyline viewpoint. I'm a wrestling fan. I pay $9.99 for the WWE Network. My pay-per-views are included. I'm not arsed. You know, it works out fine for me.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
Let me put a little bit of context on why I'm so tired, Mags. Basically, I wasn't sure if I was going to watch Elimination Chamber because it's one of those shows where I could quite easily watch it the following day and catch up and ignore, you know, everything online so I don't get results spoiled and so on. But the night before, I had a couple of beers. I was a bit later than I should have been. So I ended up sleeping in. And I thought to myself, okay, well, I can quite easily stay up for it now, I guess. I watched the United game. That finished about 9 o'clock-ish. And all of a sudden, I felt absolutely wiped out, and I was falling asleep in my chair. So I've got a couple of hours before the pay-per-view starts. I know it's later than normal, because normally I try and get to bed. If there's a pay-per-view I want to watch, normally I get to bed about 7-ish and get up about 10, 11. But it's a couple of hours later than normal, but if I get to bed now, set my alarm for like 11:45, so 15 minutes before the show starts, I can sit up till, you know, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock or whenever I thought the pay-per-view was going to finish quite easily. So I did. I went to bed for a couple of hours, got up, watched the pay-per-view. Obviously, it finished much earlier than I anticipated. The wife went to bed, my daughter went to bed, and I'm just kind of sat there. But at this point now, I'm absolutely wide awake. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm absolutely wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
I've ended up going in the kitchen, cleaning the kitchen. There's some shelves up in the front room that are going to be used for my CDs. I've got quite an extensive CD collection, and it's been shunted around the house as we're trying to fit everything into this shoebox I live in. So I sort of had a clean up of that and got that ready to put my CDs on. And before I know it, it was like 5:30. And I'm thinking, okay, now I need to try and go to sleep, but I'm still wide awake. I went to bed for an hour, couldn't sleep, got back up, ended up going down the shop, getting the missus a few bits and bobs for breakfast, come back, and eventually, like, it ends up being midday and I'm still not been to bed. I then tried to have another lie down, go get some sleep, because I started to feel a bit tired now. But then I couldn't sleep then either. So ultimately now here we are recording at, what was it, 7:25 at night. I've been awake since about 12:45. I feel exhausted. I feel tired. I feel moody. But for some reason, I can't drop off and go to sleep. So I'm afraid that's what you've got to deal with today, Mag. I'm afraid, mate, tetchy, grumpy sigh.
I mean, that's me every week. As you know, I do 5 rounds with UFC. So every single week, the UFC events are around between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning. So I have to watch the show, then instantly give Man and Carlos's reactions, then get it all edited and uploaded to YouTube. So often on Sundays, I'm maybe not actually going to bed till 7. And then when you do Radio Techers on Sunday afternoon, so you're watching the game, I usually get about 4, maybe 5 hours sleep on a Sunday. So, yeah, and I understand what you mean. It's Sunday is usually my very cranky day.
Also, I had a couple of job interviews this week. One went hopefully well. I'm hoping to hear back in the next day or two. The other one, I don't think I'll be getting, Mags, and I'll explain to you now why, because it probably make you chuckle a little bit. It was an online interview, so I suppose kind of similar to how you and me are talking to each other right now.
Okay.
I was told it's a video call that's going to last up to 30 minutes. So I ended up setting up upstairs in my bedroom. So, it was, you know, the animals and the kids and so on, it's a bit quieter up there. Shirt and tie on and so on. But I kept my shorts on that I was sleeping. Because I thought, well, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? I'm quite a large fella. It gets warm in our bedroom. I'm done up like a kipper of shirt and tie and whatnot, so I'm sweating. It's not attractive to, not a good look, is it, on the screen and whatever. So I kept my shorts on that I slept in. They're sort of like football shorts covered in paint when I used to do decorating and so on. So it's not a good look. But he can't see me from the waist up, so it's not a problem. when you and I recorded an episode of SJP the other week, I told you about my birthday present off my sister, didn't I?
The shots.
Yeah. Basically, I turned 40 last week. My little sister, who got me a sort of wicker drawer, I guess, a wicker basket, excuse me, with 40 drinks for my 40th. And they're all miniature bottles, one of Jack Daniels, one of tequila, one of this, one of that. And there's some real awful things in there that I'm not going to lie. I look at them and it scares me a little bit. But I'm very grateful for my sister getting me this gift. Basically, in my interview, I open the screen up, and first of all, the person hasn't got their camera on. Okay, so that's weird to me. I've got my camera on. They've asked me to have my camera on. Theirs isn't on. So I'm talking to basically a picture of a field.
Yeah,
is what's up. So that's strange straight away. as we're talking, it becomes apparent that they're not really getting into anything I'm selling, if that makes sense. Yeah. They're coming across a bit off. I'm doing my best to be pleasant and nice, and it's just a warehousing job somewhere, you know. Thankfully, the other one I've gone for it looks more suitable. But as we're talking, I have a slight issue with the headset on my laptop. The lady says that it's breaking up a little bit. I said, okay, no problem. Give me 2 seconds. I'll just change it over. She's like, yeah, no problem, Simon. You carry on. As I'm talking to this field, which is, again, it's so surreal. It's like I'm staring at it might as well be a blank screen. You know, they can see me. I can't. I imagine it's what the girls on Babe Station feel like. Do you know what I mean? It feels like you're being studied by somebody on the other side of this camera, you know?
wow, the comparison.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've probably got bigger boobs than some of them, but that's not the point. And I know for a fact my hair is better, but that's different. That's a different conversation for another day. I'm toying around with the cables and the wires and so on, and I drop the headset. So I bent down to pick it up. I've put my hand down to steady myself. And basically I've grabbed the drawer with the miniature bottles in that are propped up next to my bed. And made an almighty racket of all these bits of glass. The lady has basically then said, what was that? And without thinking, I've explained, oh yeah, it's all these miniature bottles of alcohol I've got. And she said, I thought you said you were recording in your bedroom. I was like, yeah. And then it dawns on me quite how terrible I'm making myself sound. And then it also dawns on me.
Wake up to a shot.
yeah, basically. I explained to her, next to my bed, I've got 40 bottles of booze. She's heard, I don't know if you can pick it up, bear with me just a sec. She's heard something like that, all right, where it's all tumbled onto the deck. And then to top it off, I realised after I've come off the call that whereas I've dropped the cable down and knocked these bottles over, where I've bent over to stand up, I've kind of basically just shown her my arse because I'm in these shorts like sleeping. So all in all, I don't reckon I'm going to be getting a phone call from them asking me to go in. You know, it's not been a successful 20 minutes of my life, that one there, Mags.
I mean, not to kink shame, but she might be into that. You may get the call because of your showing of the moon.
Hey, maybe. I'm not sure if I, you know, want to be turned into an item like that or you know, sort
you,
of.
You did compare yourself to Babe Station.
Well, yeah, perhaps that should be something I should be doing. Just whilst I'm out of work. You know, you see these adverts and there's like a TV program about it once, weren't there, where somebody became a sex line worker or whatever. I could do that.
Go for it. I mean, you've got a sexy accent. What are you wearing today?
What was that?
I think that was a very poor attempt at a Gloucester accent.
You almost sounded like an Australian who's had a stroke or something.
All my attempts at accents all meld into one.
Yeah. that's the way forward, like I said, with my Gloucester accent, I suppose, you know? Ooh, is it warm where you are? What colour is your tractor? I've got a plough. No, that's different. That's different. Let's go into that.
It's going dark again.
Okay, very quickly then, before we get into our... I'm stalling for time, Max. I don't really want to talk about this wrestling match you put forward for us, but... We put a little thing out on Twitter again, didn't we, mate? Asking for people's best, worst, silliest bits of merchandise or fan items.
Well, this was very much the royal we.
Well, okay. Chain Wrestling Twitter account, which basically...
It works so well. We got a lot of fun comments for the last one, the drunken stories, and it seems that we got just as many good ones for this one.
Yeah. And to be honest, we didn't get many daft or embarrassing or silly ones. I mean, there's a lot of these that I reckon are quite good.
Mm-hmm.
For a start, I suppose, Dan Griffin, at Dan Griffin 21, said he went to SummerSlam in 2015. The package he had included a meet and greet breakfast. He forgot to take anything to get signed, though. But he signed his tickets, and that's signed now by Paige and Seth Rollins, which I mean is quite a good collection of signatures there, isn't it, really?
That'd be quality. That'd be something that you kind of like get that sealed up.
Yeah, your ticket with Paige and Rollins on it. I reckon that's quite cool.
Yeah, it is.
I'm sitting down for breakfast with them. You know, that'd be interesting as well, I guess. Would you reckon they're a Weetabix and baked bean kind of couple, or?
No, I think they're fruit and a croissant style people.
Yeah, no baked beans in sight, no. Marmite?
Definitely not Marmite. I mean, Paige may like Marmite, harkening back to her days from was she from Norwich?
Yeah.
She may be into a little bit of Marmite, but I don't think Seth is. He's definitely a watermelon and a pastry kind of guy. Maybe a Danish.
Yeah. No, I can see that, mate. I can see that. Millwall Chris has messaged in saying he got a signed ticket from the Miami Dolphins New York Giants game in London in 2007.
Okay. That's
signed
cool.
By. Yeah, definitely. I've only just literally this last sort of couple of months started watching a bit more NFL. I still don't fully understand it, but I'm sort of getting there slowly, I guess. He says it was signed by two legends who used to play for the Dolphins at the tailgate party before the game. The thing is, he hasn't got a clue who they are.
That's brilliant. So it may not even be two Dolphin legends, it may just be two random blokes wearing Dolphin jerseys.
Yeah, and they've just given him made-up names and signed it Mickey Mouse or something, I don't know.
But still cool. I mean, me and my two lads have talked about wanting to go to an NFL game when they're back in the UK. So, yeah, maybe I'll get a signature by the very same two legends.
Yeah. Yeah, compare it with Mill or Chris, yes. Yeah. MGB Mason at MGB Wrestling Pod. Says he has a poster up in his ring of, bear me just a sec, Tim Donst, I believe that's pronounced, a wrestler, which is, he's a poster up in his room. One of the thumbtacks keeping it up is from one of his matches at Nova Pro. So I'm assuming it's kind of like a hardcore style with thumbtacks and everything thrown in. So I reckon that's quite smart. The poster
that is cool.
That's
very, very cool.
Held up by, you know, a thumbtack from his match. That's excellent. I like that a lot.
A ring-worn thumbtack.
Yeah, exactly. At UTT Rob said he went to see Dusty Bin open the Ridings Shopping Centre in Wakefield.
Dusty Bin.
You'll have to help me out here. I don't know who that is.
Right. You must remember the game show 3-2-1.
Yeah.
Dusty Bin was when you got the answer wrong. And you got the stupid little bin with a face on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember.
I don't know if that's a massive claim to fame. It's literally just a bin with a face and arms and legs. So it's the weakest one yet, Rob. I think you could have done better there, mate.
Ooh, that sounds like one of my school reports.
7 out of 10, see me.
Well, seven stretching. I mean, have you got any mags, any merch that you're really proud of or anything you're really happy about or anything that you think is a bit funny now looking back?
Do you know, personally, I don't own anything particularly funny like that. I mean, you've seen my the burgeoning belt collection that I've started to gather. I've got like lots and lots of wrestling t-shirts, but nothing that really stands out. But we did do an episode of Badlands where we covered wacky wrestling merchandise. So I've still
Yes, I loved that episode. It was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed it.
I've still got the research in a text file of the ones that I put forward. So I can quickly go through some of them.
Yeah, yeah, go on.
So in the early 2010s, WWE brought out something called Pizza Prints, which is essentially a sticker that you would put over your cheese and tomato pizza, or even if you want pepperoni, I suppose, and you would cook it and it would melt onto your pizza. So you could essentially have a picture of John Cena and you could pull the slice out and it would stretch his face and you could eat John Cena if you wished. But there was actually one that was Kane's face, but if you remember, the maskless Kane, so the one where he kind of looked deformed. So you can imagine that melted onto a pizza, so you've got a deformed face.
That's then, a bit close to the bone, isn't it?
Yeah, then melted onto a pizza, then stretched out when you pull the pizza away. That's a, yeah, it's a, not something I could particularly want. Then in 2013, TNA entered the wackier merchandise market when, do you remember a wrestler called Eric Young?
Yes.
Okay, so he basically had a torrid time of it in WWE when he got called up to the main roster with Sanity. But before he was there, he was one of the more popular wrestlers in TNA, member of Team Canada and stuff like that. And then he actually had a push in the World Tag Pitch, if you remember. So they brought out some merchandise for him, and it was a plastic beard, a fake plastic beard that you would wear whilst watching Eric Young matches. But they were glittery, they were shiny, they didn't particularly look like a beard, and there was absolutely no kind of like markings or lettering to show that it was just Eric Young. So basically you'd just walk around with a half-assed semblance of a glittery beard. So there was that. Then I've saved the best two to last, I think. One of the worst accepted storylines in WWE is the Katie Vick stuff.
I remember you discussing this. This is shocking.
Triple H essentially shagging a dead body. Oh, now, Katie Vick was a cheerleader in the storyline. Kane crashed his car. They'd both been out. Katie had been drinking. She died in the car crash. Kane didn't. He tortured himself for that mercilessly. But she was the cheerleader. And the merchandise that you could get was a cheerleader costume with pom-poms, the blue and white top that she wore, and a frilled skirt. So if you know a website called Wrestle Crap, they take the very worst things of wrestling and they basically put them in lists. Well, they bought one of these merchandise packs, and it came with way more than it was that was advertised. So the guy opened up the packaging. One of them said, one of the bags said this was all sand, and he said, and I'm going to go word for word because I can't do it justice as much as WrestleCrap did. So okay. It says, I open up the first of the baggies, the one that had all sand scribbled across it, apparently by a three-year-old with his first Crayola. And this is what I found. One bra and no less than four pairs of panties, all signed by wrestling's equivalent to the Antichrist, Triple H. Okay? So, next he goes, for the sickos out there, and you know who you are, you'll be glad to know that your favourite deceased pom-shaking gal was a 36C. Okay? So then she also had very weird feet, as apparently the socks, which were six pairs, range from stockings that Andre the Giant could have put both feet in at once, to a pair so dinky that you wouldn't have fit Scarlolo's pinky toe. I'm assuming Scarlolo, maybe a small person. They also received an official certificate of authenticity signed by Linda McMahon. The highlight was the outfit itself. It looks to be very well made, and perhaps if he lost 150 pounds and maybe his penis, he could dance around with it into the delight of absolutely no one. So I scattered everything across my floor. I looked at my bounty, a cheerleader outfit, three pom-poms. I did not dare even ask how she would wave the odd pom-pom. Four pairs of panties, a bra signed by my least favourite wrestler, and six pairs of odd socks.
Why? That's incredible. I mean, you could complete the set, couldn't you? You could buy the Kane pizza topper and the Katie Vick outfit and just go for a whole, you know, theme, couldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you could reenact that fateful day when Katie Vick lost a laugh and then Triple H had a quick do on her.
See, is that wrong that's where I kind of draw the line? As we're talking here, we've been discussing Babe Station, you know, me basically mooning someone on a, you know, don't get me wrong, I have my shorts on, but me mooning someone on a job interview. And then we're talking about ordering signed panties online. But yet reenacting the car crash is where I think, oh, perhaps we've gone a bit far there. Is that odd? Is that an odd place to draw the line? I don't know.
I mean, is there even a line to draw, to be fair?
I think with this show, sometimes the line is more like a dot in the distance where we've passed it so long.
Absolutely.
That is shocking, mate.
Well, I'll do the next one, basically. This one may kind of brighten the mood, but it's the Hulk Hogan meat shoes.
Oh, yes, these are fantastic, and I still want a pair.
Yeah, so this all came up in about 2007 when there's a forum called somethingawful.com. Somebody wrote a post there talking about wrestling merch, and one of the users, a guy called Andrew Miller, he said he remembered an advert for some Hulk Hogan trainers, some basically merchandise for Hulk Hogan in the form of sneakers, as they would say in America. And inside the uniqueness of these trainers was that they had inside the sole a drawer where you could pull it out and pop in a little piece of meat that you could keep warm whilst you're walking on the go. Your kind of like kinetic energy kept this piece of meat that you put in there nice and toasty warm, so you could have things like ham, beef jerky, chicken, Slim Jim, whatever you felt like you needed a protein fix. Slide open the drawer, pop it in your mouth, and away you go. So nobody absolutely believed this guy. They said he was an idiot, and that he'd actually maybe was going mental dreaming up these meat shoes. But he prevailed, and he even drew a product of what a kind of like a rudimentary example of what they look like. So he took months and months of mockery from this forum until a user called Happy Go Lumpy chimed into the chat, and this is where it gets interesting. He claimed that he was a shoe designer, and he remembered the product. So he spoke to some of his friends who were still working in the industry, and he found out that one of them used to work on celebrity licensed footwear, and that this guy actually sent him a blueprint design complete with the model number, the description, a tentative release date, and loads of details about the material and the dimensions of the shoe. So he sent this Happy Go Lumpy this information, and he quickly posted it to this this forum. So just looking at the designs and the blueprints, they're very similar to kind of an Adidas Superstar, you know, the shell toe trainers. They've got air vents for where the meat is and a little pull-down door where you can pull out the drawer. Now, obviously, these products don't seem to have actually come to market. It seems that maybe they put the advert out, maybe to test to see if there would be any interest, and they never kind of came into laugh. But this sparked this forum and some of the users into laugh, and one user in particular called Dino Zombies Go Raw, he went full on manufacturer mode. And he has got a very detailed process of how he went from taking an old pair of shoes to creating these absolutely amazing meat shoes. So he sliced out a section of the sole with his Stanley knife, which was actually called Stabby. He put on some a sticker calling it Stabby. He only could get so far with that, so he finished the job with a hacksaw. Then he made a drawer out of a piece of wood that he had rooted out. Then he painted them red and yellow, obviously, because it's the Hulk, so you've got to go red and yellow.
Of course.
And they looked, I mean, I certainly wouldn't wear them, but they looked like a pair of trainers.
That's because you're a Hogan hater, though, Mags, isn't it? That's why.
maybe because of that. If they were Macho Man meat shoes, I might have had a do on them. But this Dano Zombies Go Raw went the full hog. He decided to go and wear them to the shop. He bought some jerky. He then filled his shoe with the jerky and walked home. And when he got home, he documented eating the jerky that came out of the shoe, and he proclaimed it to be both warm and delicious. So, yeah, the most wacky piece of merchandise has got to be Hulk Hogan's meat shoes, brother.
Oh, why? That is amazing. I mean, I think we've hit on something else as well there that has been maybe ignored in this whole story that you told on Badlands and you've brilliantly repeated here, because it does make me laugh a lot. I'm not going to lie. You know, the Hulk Hogan meat shoes, great idea, but the merchandising possibilities of the Macho Man meat shoes. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think there's a trick being missed there.
He was the Slim Jim guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Macho Man meat shoes. It even sounds better. The name is perfect. That's going on the list, Max. That's going on the list along with our Egg and Crest sandwich van and our cream soda cologne. Macho Man meat shoes is the third prong to our empire, mate. We're going to get rich.
I mean, you could even go one step further and bring it into the new millennium. You could have current WWE wrestlers and even current AEW wrestlers with their own licensed draw containing shoes. I mean, if you've got a vegan wrestler, maybe someone like Austin Aries, pop a little bit of celery in there. I mean, I don't know how much like sweaty feet, warm celery would taste like, but the options are there.
But could you maybe put in, like, you know, you get those plastic ice cubes that you can reuse?
Oh, yeah.
You could chuck a couple of them in there, couldn't you? But then your feet would get cold, which could be quite nice in the summer, actually.
Yeah, I mean, the possibilities are endless. M&Ms don't melt in your hand, they melt in your mouth. You could
test they melt by your feet.
You could test that theory. Do they melt by your feet?
Yeah. Mate, honestly, how are we not rich?
It's because we have ridiculous ideas like this.
Well, you say ridiculous. I say just untested. There's a big difference. I mean, very quickly before we get on to our match, the reason I brought this up was because I ordered a Arn Anderson action figure from like the early 90s WCW range with some of my birthday money. It was great. It made me feel like I was 12 years old again, buying wrestling figures with my birthday money. It was awesome. But going through them all online, I noticed something really, really strange, and I'll post some pictures when this episode comes out this week. Virtually every Arn Anderson figure I found on eBay, its arse was worn off. You know? Obviously, the figure is like a sort of, you know, the pinky skin colour, and then they just paint the trunks on, don't they? Right. But it didn't matter. Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it didn't matter whether it was R. Anderson in his white trunks, R. Anderson in his red trunks, whatever. The arses were worn off, so it's just like he had his trunks on, but then when you got around the back, his bum cheeks were just sticking out.
and that was on every single one of them.
Well, yeah, I think I got the one that had the least worn arse. You know, all the others, the arses were worn. And what are people doing to their R. Anderson action figures? What's going on? Is there some sort of weird R. Anderson arse fetish club I don't know about?
I mean, you may now be an honorary member if you bought one of the figures.
Well, I'm a big Iron fan, I'm not going to lie, but maybe not that big. But yeah.
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I mean,
I'll stick some pictures up of what I found on eBay on the show when this comes out, like on our social medias at @chain_wrestling. And we'll, and people can see. And there's like, I got three or four different options I took screenshots of as I was looking through because I just thought, what's going on? It's like he's wearing a thong or something all the time. You know, well, again, I'm a big Arn Anderson fan, but not, I'm not a big fan of Arn Anderson's arse. That's a completely different show. You know, that's a different scenario.
I mean, it's all linking to Babe Station.
It is, mate. Getting back to Babe Station and selling myself online. I suppose the wackiest or weirdest or most random bit of merch I got, I've got a signed picture by Dean Stockwell, who played Al in Quantum Leap.
Wow. But, I mean, I'd say he's a fairly big star.
Yeah, quite random, isn't it? You know, I mean, I'm a big Quantum Leap fan, so for me, that's quite cool.
He was in a film called Langoliers as well, which is not a good film, but it's certainly a kind of like switch your brain off film, and I enjoy that. So, yeah,
that's it involve time travel, Mags?
It does. And it does involve time travel and meatballs that eat up the earth.
Anything that involves time travel, mate, I'm all about that.
Yeah, it's Stephen King's The Langoliers. It's definitely a shut your brain off watch kind of movie. But yeah, it does involve time travel.
Like people can shut their brain off and listen to us, sort of thing.
Well, or just shut us off and listen to the brain. Either or. Either's good.
Yeah. My brother-in-law has Mr. Spoon's autograph from Button Me.
Now, how would that work? Because he's got that fork for hands. How does he hold the pen?
Why have you got to be like that? Do you know, why have you got to judge him like that? If he's signed an autograph, I think that should be a, you know.
And also, his arms.
Happy for him.
I mean, this is me vaguely remembering Button Moon, but his arms only move like in one direction. So surely, if he had a pen trapped in the forks, it'd only draw a line because he's got no like lateral movement. He can't like go in circles or anything like that. So is it just a pen line?
So my mid-40s brother-in-law has the autograph of Mr. Spoon, a fictional character who is a spoon, and your issue is he hasn't got the lateral movement to write his name. That's the issue you have with that.
I'm just questioning the validity of that autograph. I think your brother-in-law may have had the wool pulled over his eyes.
Oh, mate, I'm just going to say, I hope he doesn't hear this, but he doesn't listen.
Now, if he'd have had the signature of Egbert from Bottom Moon, that would have been a different story.
Because he has lateral movement, yeah?
Yeah, well, I assume so. We've been being a human.
Right, okay. Big difference in there, I suppose, between being a human and a spoon.
Exactly, there is. The spoons don't tend to bend.
No, really.
I've ruined his whole childhood now.
That's it, you know. He's going to be outside burning his Mr. Spoon autograph, one single tear rolling down his cheek on the patio. You know, God's sake.
Hello, brother. This is NWA WCW Enhancement Talent Randy Hogan, baby. Being in the ring with the Road Warriors, Vader, Abdul the Butcher, Midnight Express and all them guys, let me tell you, it was dang rough. But not as rough as listening to Cy and Mags on that Chain Wrestling show, brother. what you gonna do when this pair of fools, Cy Mag and Chain Wrestling Brother, runs wild on you?
Okay, we've put it off long enough. Shall we have a look at this wrestling match that you put forward?
Let us do it.
So with, what was it, 66% of the votes? I mean, it was very close for a long time as well. We've only, like, I think it was like 8 or 7 hours left. It was still sat at like 50-50, which is quite cool.
And then Wrestling Twitter decided to fuck us again.
Yeah, so thanks a lot. I don't think we're going to get it much better this week, either, with the rant I've just had about Wrestling Twitter today, you know?
I mean, I've got hopefully a fairly decent pick, so maybe we'll get some decent wrestling to watch next week.
Oh, my pick is shite. My pick's awful. We'll come to that in a bit. But I basically picked it thinking, screw you, Mags. I didn't enjoy this match. I'm going to get you back.
I'm getting you back.
But now I'm thinking...
But the thing is, you have fell into the trap that I fell into, that you also have to watch the trap that you put forward.
Yeah, and like I said, I watched this match at around, 5 o'clock this morning, or whenever it was, and that's when I decided on where I was going from it. And I was in a grumpy, tired mood. And now I look back on it and think, yeah, I'm looking at my notes and I'm thinking, you dickhead, Si, stitch this up. So I'm hoping everyone votes for your choice. But anyway, we are heading to, first of all, thank you to everyone who voted and retweeted and so on to take us to the next link in the chain here at chain_wrestling on Twitter, where you can find the poll each week. We are heading to Bash at the Beach 1995, July the 16th, 1995, from Huntington Beach, California. The attendance is listed online in various places at 9,500. I don't know if that was people there to watch wrestling or just people having a little wander on the beach, Mags. Who knows?
Well, apparently WCW said that there was around 100,000 people there. But yeah, the 9,500 that attended actually didn't even pay. So they didn't make any money from attendance. So it was literally just people wandering around.
Yeah. I mean, why doesn't that happen anymore? Well, obviously I know why that doesn't happen anymore. WWE went out of business because of decisions like that. But it's like you had the Sturgis motorbike rallies where people didn't have to pay to go watch the wrestling there. You got Bash at the Beach where people don't have to pay to watch wrestling there. I go watch a wrestling show, man, because I got to pay. That sucks. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, why aren't every company like WCW just give us everything for free?
Yeah, I reckon. Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we? And the match we have is our United States champion, Sting, versus Meng, or Haku, as he was known in the WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for the WCW United States title. It's the opener on the show. I mean, there's a few dark matches, but it's the opener for the actual pay-per-view itself.
It is.
We had a lovely cheesy intro going into the pay-per-view, very much of its time.
I think we need to touch on that intro because I felt that was actually more interesting than the actual match. So I've got someone who's transcribed what was said on that intro because they were trying to build Meng to be this unstoppable monster. He'd basically come back to WCW earlier that year. He'd beaten Hacksaw at Uncensored. He'd had a double countout match against Hawk, and then he'd lost in the finals of the US title tournament to Sting. But now, obviously, he's getting this push where he's this monster heel. So the promo goes something like this. From the time of his existence, he was taught to intimidate, to eliminate, to conquer and destroy. A one-man shield of steel, it's Meng. Brought up to protect the emperors of the Far East, his soul disperses fear to all persons willing to step into his protective domain. Trained in 9 forms of martial arts, now that 9 forms of martial arts will be interesting in a little bit, Meng is a master of disaster. Inside his mind, the focus is there. Discipline, tenacity, intelligence. The fight will continue until the breathing stops. determination. Victims are many, friends are few. Fear is widespread. Protect my master with all means necessary. I have been put here to finish the contest, to eliminate the competition, to continue to serve. This is Ming.
That's really something, isn't it?
It was absolutely quality.
What was the first bit again? Since his existence, he was taught to intimidate?
From the time of his existence, he was taught to intimidate.
His existence. So they're saying basically from when he was born, he was taught to intimidate.
Yeah, it makes sense.
What are we going to then? Like he's a little then, he's been, his mum's breastfeeding him and he's there just eyeballing her, you know? Or he's having his nappy changed and he's like got his fists clenched, ready to pounce and attack. And how does that work since the time of his existence? Do you know what I mean? It's brilliant.
I totally get what you mean. I mean, this is a guy who said the fight will continue until the breathing stops, but yet lost to a roll-up pin. So the fight, he certainly didn't stop breathing. He was breathing after the fight had finished. So he's just a liar, isn't he? I mean, not that I'm calling Meng a liar.
We love you, man. Yeah. Oh, why? And you mentioned there as well, you said like the nine different martial arts being interesting. Okay. Is that because Sting refers to it as seven later on?
That's because Sting fucks off two of those martial arts later on and says that there's only seven. So he might not count Aikido and Judo as a genuine martial art. So he bags them off. He only recognizes seven of those martial arts. The other two can get fucked.
But also in that interview, a note I've got here that really tickled me. I don't know why it made me laugh so much. Sleep deprivation, I guess. I don't know. But Sting says, like, Meng knows seven different martial arts, but then goes on to say that none of that matters because he's got palm trees and the ocean.
And the waves and waves of stingers. Big ones. Oh. Little ones, and also the medium-sized ones. They're the killer, the medium-sized.
Yeah. You got to look out for the meat, because obviously the big stingers you can see coming a mile off. The little stingers, they'll like bite your ankles, and that can be quite uncomfortable. The medium stingers, though, they go under the radar. They sneak in, don't they?
Exactly, mate. Exactly. So
medium-sized stingers.
It all builds attention for what is an absolutely outstanding match.
I've got a note here saying that the belt looks good. So that's one positive.
Yeah, it is a nice looking belt, to be fair. I think a lot of the older WCW belts don't get the appreciation that they should get. And yeah, I do like that old school WCW US title.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, so we start off with a few tie-ups, a few shove-downs, a few slaps and so on, and all that usual sort of babyface heel dynamic from this sort of time period. Sting's face paint didn't last very long, did it?
Well, he's wrestling on a beach with no clouds, bright blue sky, roasting hot sun. I don't know how he thought it was going to last.
Also, right, well, don't get me wrong, I'm guessing, you know, you get the weather forecast and all that sort of stuff. Of course you do. But these things are booked well in advance. There's no, it's not like WrestleMania when it's outside, or even going back to like WrestleMania 9, which was 1993. A couple of years before this, they had roofs or sort of something built over the top of the ring. There's nothing here. It's just literally a ring on a beach. What if it pissed down with rain?
Well, I assume they don't get a lot of rain in California.
But you don't know, do you? You know, I'd be panicking.
I agree. I mean, the only thing that was above the ring was like the lighting grid. So imagine the beaming hot sun on you, and then to make sure you get the perfect lighting, you've got the red hot spotlights as well. So there's no winning in this match, and you can tell why it ended the way it did.
Yes, it didn't end well, did it? Slim Jims everywhere on this as well, isn't it? You can tell that. You know, Randy Savage, WCW, Eric Bischoff is really pushing this whole Slim Jim thing. They got covers over the corner posts that I think look freaking horrendous. It's quite a visual overload anyway, because nothing's it's like doors and it's in the day, so nothing's lit to sort of make you draw your attention to the ring, shall we say. In a way, yep. It reminds me of the Thunderdome, where it's so well lit behind the ring, there seems to be so much going on at any one time. Does that make sense?
And then you've also got a crowd who are in their swim shorts and the bikinis, so your eyes are not always focused on the wrestling, which in hindsight is maybe a bit of a good thing. You've got something slightly entertaining rather than watching this absolute shower of shit.
There's one of my least favorite moves in wrestling ever. There's a nerve hold applied by Meng at one stage, which was, I just don't get it, because the other guy can literally use any of his arms or legs, his head, anything, just to chin the fella and get out of it. They stand there and struggle on, don't they?
They do. There's so many like hookups and headlock rest breaks. Sting eventually does get the Scorpion Deathlock on, even though Tony and Bobby the Brain say he will never be able to turn him over. He does it relatively easily, to be fair. And then Colonel Parker gets up onto the ring and Sting just lets it go, just for no reason. Butcher's just gone antagonised Colonel Parker. He decides to let the Deathlock go, and receives a good old kick to the kidneys for his troubles.
Yeah. On the topic there of letting go of holds, I've got a few here. There's the nerve hold from Meng. There's a weird knee in the back hold where he's got one of Sting's legs kind of angled in a certain way that probably looks more comfortable than painful, to be fair. There's an abdominal stretch applied by Meng.
All the way through this match, from about 3 or 4 minutes in, you could tell that the heat was not conducive to good wrestling, because you saw Sting's face paint literally drip off. Meng was absolutely knackered. He was like sucking in air for a long period of this time. So I actually understand why we were getting this really slow-paced, rest-hold-heavy wrestling, because Meng was absolutely knackered. You could tell he just wasn't able to cope with the weather.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with regards to that, the sort of weird back hold thing, the abdominal stretch, the nerve holds, you had a Boston Crab to that where he hooked both legs under one arm, which did look quite cool, to be fair. Mm-hmm. All of those holds, for no reason at all, he just let go of.
Yeah.
Sting made no effort to power out of. Sting was making no comeback. He literally just let go. Which, again, makes no sense at all to the story of the match.
No. I mean, this whole match made no sense, to be quite fair.
It makes no sense that you picked it, Mags.
I mean, we did get a really cool finish, to be fair. I felt when Sting went for the Stinger Splash and took a proper boot to the face, I thought that looked pretty good.
Oh, there's a couple in there where... first of all, Meng tries to suplex Sting into the ring.
Yeah.
And almost kills him by dropping him straight on his head. And if he didn't have that wonderful flat top surfer haircut, it might have been dangerous. But I think the hair saved him there, Max.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. And then on that occasion you're talking about there, where he goes for the Stinger Splash in the corner, Meng gets his feet up to counter it or block it, and nearly kicks Sting's head straight off his shoulders.
Yep. Absolutely. There's a spot where Sting goes for a sunset flip and Meng literally just falls onto the ropes. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good at all.
Sting jumps in a sunset flip as well, doesn't he? Meng is trying to put a sunset flip on Sting, and Sting just jumps straight up in the air and then just sits down on his face.
Yep. And then there's an attempt at a Hurricane Rana, which may be the slowest Hurricane Rana that I've seen in the whole of wrestling. It was god awful.
Yeah, this is bad. And then ultimately, I suppose we've got there's not much else to talk about other than the roll up of doom at the end.
Yep, the roll up of doom. That's how you win matches, with a shitty ass cradle and a roll up off a missed kick as well. I thought this was a five-star classic of a match, and I would happily watch this again. But that's not the end of the action. Once Sting has been determined to be the winner, Meng gets a second wind and decides to beat the living piss out of him again. Until we first, I mean, it may have made sense back at the time, but we got Road Warrior Hawk rocking out with the shoulder pads on to come and protect Sting and walking back to the, I assume it's a cabin on the beach where the wrestlers go and get changed. But yeah, I don't understand why Road Warrior Hawk was involved. I don't understand why Meng showed more effort in the beatdown after the match than he did in the 15 minutes of horrific wrestling that we had to put on. And then, I don't know if you watched further on into the show, we went straight into a Jimmy Hart and Renegade promo, which was probably more entertaining than this whole match.
I ended up watching virtually the whole pay-per-view, mate.
I cut it off after that promo. Once I heard fake Ultimate Warrior say Jimmy Hart had taught him to terminate on sight, that was me done.
I watched Kamala versus Duggan. Oh, I just remember, this is not 1988. This is
Kamala or Duggan.
Oh, my word. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. It actually makes this match look good. Kamala Duggan. It makes this match look good because at least in this match, we get a shitty finish, fine, but we get a finish. In Kamala Duggan, the finish is because the bloody Zodiac runs in and interferes. So you don't just have Duggan and Kamala and the awfulness that they put on. You've got Brutus Beefcake running in with a stupid amount of face paint on. His hair done up like, I don't know, some bootleg version of Gene Simmons. And it's just, it was terrible. Again, I don't know why I sat there and watched it. I don't know why I put myself through this. You know, it's just bad.
I mean, I didn't. I saw sense and turned it off after the Renegade promo because I thought that we'd peaked.
Yeah.
There was no getting over that.
None of it got better than that, mate. Honestly, the whole show sucked ass. Okay, I suppose we better give this a rating. Dave Meltzer gave it 2 stars, I think it was, Mags, wasn't
That's
it?
That's fucking generous. That's absolutely generous. No. So he's essentially saying that's a 4 out of 10. Absolutely not. This is one of the worst matches we've watched on the show so far. I'm happy giving it a 2.
Oh, why? I've actually got 2 out of 10 written here as well. and puts it easily the worst match we have looked at on this show, because the lowest mark before this was 5 out of 10 for Steiner and Booker T on our very first episode, mate.
I think we should retroactively give that a raise in score, because this was embarrassingly bad. It made that look like a 5-star classic.
It's so dreadful. It is. But there we go. We've done it now. 15 minutes worth of my life that I'm never, ever going to get back. Thank you, Wrestling Twitter. That was wonderful. I suppose we better have a little look now as to where we're going next. Mags, yes. Do you want to go first or second, my friend?
I'll go first. I'll see if we can please not only Wrestling Twitter, but us as well. Might be able to watch some genuinely good wrestling. So the link is Meng. He is a generational wrestler, part of a legacy, and he's also the father to one of the greatest tag teams around in wrestling today. The Gorillas of Destiny over in New Japan, Tangaloa and Tama Tonga.
Yep.
So there's a lot of in wrestling, it seems to be a very generational business. You tend to get second generation, third generation, even fourth generation wrestlers. But it's rare that you get sons of a wrestler who stick together as a tag team. So we've got that with G.O.D., but we have also got it with somebody else. Now, Rikishi. Rikishi is a... Obviously, we know him from the WWF, former Intercontinental Champion. He famously fell off the top of a Hell in a Cell when he was in that six-pack challenge. And he is also a father of two boys who are in the wrestling business. And also, again, kind of like Guerrillas of Destiny, one of the best tag teams going today, the Usos. Now, Jey Uso is obviously involved heavily with Roman Reigns now, part of that Samoan dynasty. But when both of them are fit and wrestling together, they do create some magic in the ring. So I'm going to go with an Usos match. As that link to the familial connection. And I'm going to go back to Money in the Bank 2013.
Right.
So the Usos were actually on the kickoff show in a tag team match for the WWE tag team titles against The Shield, which was Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. So Roman Reigns, the current head of the table, the current face of the company, was on the 2013 Money in the Bank kickoff show defending his tag team titles with Seth Rollins against the Usos. So that's where I would like to go.
Okay. Why? I've never seen that. I can tell you now, I don't think I've ever seen that. Usos versus Reigns and Rollins from Money in the Bank 2013 kickoff. Why? Yeah. That sounds like it would be absolutely brilliant. It's something I've not seen. That sounds very, very good. Not going to lie. Mags, I've done something horrible. In my tired, grumpy sins. In my tired, grumpy state, I've kind of lashed out, I think. My link is basically Hogan being on top of the card we just watched. And no, we're not going to when he saves the world. I'm too tired to do that. I'm literally just going to go from one pay-per-view from the mid-90s with WCW with Hogan on top against Vader that we just seen at Bash of the Beach for the Sting Meng match opening match show. And I thought if we're going to watch awful wrestling, why not watch awful wrestling that we can at least have a good laugh and a giggle at with more awful characters. So I've gone for Uncensored 96, and Hogan is the link there because he's on top again, as always. And it's Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, and they are facing the Force to End Hulkamania. I don't know if people are familiar with the Force to End Hulkamania, but basically it was, I think it's like an 8-man team. So you've got, it's a doomsday cage match, it's referred to as, so it's like a 3-layer cage, and it's Hogan and Randy Savage, and they are facing Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, our buddy Meng, the Barbarian, Lex Luger, the Taskmaster, which is always a delight, Z Gangster, which was Zeus, from the WWF, the Ultimate Solution, bad name.
Oh my god, as if I remember the name, and yeah, that was horrific.
Because that was the name they actually changed it to, because the original name was, you know, what the Bloody Nazis referred to, and they have Woman and Miss Elizabeth and Jimmy Hart with them. There's a lot of crap.
Definitely not overbooked.
Oh, no. It's really straightforward, I imagine.
Please, for everything that is Hall Wrestling Twitter, do not let us watch that absolute trap. Let us watch the Usos, please. We need some good wrestling on this show now. You've had your fun. Yeah, we all get a giggle when we have to watch Showers of Shat, but come on now. Enough's enough.
See, it's funny, I literally picked this match thinking, you know what, Mags, sod it. You picked a shit match. I'm going to pick something awful too. And now I hear your selection, I'm like, oh, I've done something really bad. You know? And I feel really angry at myself now. Because I know what's going to happen. Wrestling Twitter are literally going to just screw us. But I hope they won't. The match that you're listing there is great, and I'd like to watch that. I've got faith in Wrestling Twitter, mate. They're going to help us out. They're going to vote for what we should be watching.
I mean, for context, the match I've picked has got an 8.55 rating on Cage Match. Let's just find yours.
No, let's not.
Uncensored 1996, you said. Zeus. Please be that Zeus. Matches. The Doomsday Cage match. Let's have a look how... Well, the show itself got a 2.02 rating on Cage Match, so that is not a good start.
Oh, I bet that's the undercard dragging it down, though. Because all the star power is in the main event, isn't it?
It's got... 1.2 rating. The majority of its votes are 0 out of 10.
Why? I've done something really bad, haven't I?
And it's 25 minutes long.
Yeah.
25 minutes, 16 seconds
yeah.
of torture. Don't do us dirty, Wrestling 12. Let us play in the paint with the Usos.
That's it. Okay. So, just to recap then, your poll this week, which will be attached to the tweet I put out with the episode links on when this episode drops, is the Usos versus Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins from The Shield at Money in the Bank 2013 kickoff show, or Hogan and Savage versus The Force to End Hulkamania from Uncensored 96. Please vote for the Usos match. Max, where can people find you on Twitter, my friend?
You can find me, sir, at DJ Kirkby, where I have more wrestling and other sport-based podcasts than any one human should ever have.
Indeed, and it's all fantastic stuff, so I suggest go and check that out. You can find the show at chain_wrestling, where you'll be able to find, again, links to the shows, and the polls are also on there as well. So make sure you're voting in those and deciding where the chain takes us next. And you can find me at SJP Words. I'm off now to go and start an OnlyFans. Mags, I will speak with you next week, my friend.
Bye-bye.